complete screen. But if they'd cut off the sight, they couldn't shut out the sound. Even above the drunken babble of talk, gasps and grunts and rhythmic pounding were audible, followed at last by a prolonged ecstatic wailing that reminded me of little Fraulein Thingamajig on the voyage to Trieste. "Well done, cavalry, that's your sort," thinks I, and looked to see the company, and Mastiat, if she still had her senses, express their indignation at such unseemly behaviour. But no one was paying the least attention, until Fazel and t'other chap resumed their shamas, and the happy couple emerged, the bint in some disorder, and cavalry looking as though he'd just been ridden down by the heavy brigade. Then, as God's my witness, the whole company raised their glasses in salutation as the lovers resumed their stools. And then the other diners followed suit, in turn. Whether they observed some order of precedence, like bishops going into dinner before rear admirals, I can't say, but I think not, since Fazel and his consort were next to bat. And he must have been senior to cavalry, surely. I was caught out, because cavalry undid his shama to give him privacy, and nodded and frowned in my direction. And of course, I was the nearest chap, and since I didn't wear a shama, I could only hold up a cushion, which wasn't really adequate. Being fairly foxed, I started to apologise to Fazel, but quickly averted my gaze, thinking, that's a position I haven't seen before. But ex Africa semper aliquid novi, as Charity Spring would have said. Then infantry and his charmer were at it. And of course the inevitable happened. The others got impatient and started out of turn, and all order was abandoned. Only the most perfunctory attempts were made to shield the jolly amorists, and the place shook like a New Orleans brothel in Holy Week. The Abs have two claims to distinction. They're the noisiest eaters and fornicators on earth, and their queen is up there with the leaders. I'd been too intent on the scandalous scene to pay her much heed, and now, when I looked, she was reclining on one elbow, regarding me glassily over the rim of her Tej goblet. Whether she could see me or not, I wasn't sure, until she reached out a hand to stroke my cheek, and, of all things, chucked me under the chin, gurgling with laughter and lurching closer. "Has he not?" she mumbled drowsily. By Jove, she'd lapped the gutter, but do you know, it was a rum thing. The drunker she got, the more I fancied her. I've said she was no great beauty, but there was something damn fetching about the plump, polished cheeks between the shining braids, the moist lips trembling in a vacuous smile, the satin skin of her arms and shoulders, the hard jugs thrusting themselves into my grasp, and the wild abandon with which she suddenly revived, clamping her mouth on mine, clawing at my rump, howling and writhing fit to wreck the furniture. And I think some considerate chaps must have noticed, for I've a recollection of being secluded by their shamas. I hope we were, anyway. Not that I imagine anyone would have paid us the slightest heed in the surrounding happy pandemonium, but one has to think of propriety and the good name of the service, especially among native peoples, however trying conditions may sometimes be. As I said to Speedycut, it's hell in the diplomatic. Elspeth maintains that one of the jolliest things about what she calls homagandy is the sweet exchanges of conversation afterwards. What they would have been like with Queen Mastiat of Gala, I cannot say, for she fell asleep at the end of our little frolic, and had to be carried insensible to bed by the more sober of her handmaidens, snoring like a volcano. My stars, but she was a glutton for mutton, and I was a well-ruined ambassador as I picked my way clear of the wreckage of that dining chamber. Would you credit it? Infantry and cavalry were still going strong, with Farzil's woman too, while he was tucking into a helping of Brundo, fed to him by his subordinates, laughing lovebirds. No one's ever going to believe this, thinks I. Hang it all, Nero himself would have taken one look and cried, "Oh, chuck it." But that's Ab society for you. Other folk have dinner parties, but in Habesh, they're dinner orgies. I've no very clear recollection of making my way to the apartment in the palace set aside for me, but I know I suffered a most ghastly bout of spinning pillow and had to hang over the side of the bed with the floor racing up to me and receding time and again before I finally settled, lying there in the dark, wondering how much of Queen Mastiat I could take. She was no refined amorist, that one. Strong as a bullock, randy as a stoat, and the roughest ride I could remember since Ranavalona of Madagascar. another black pearl of Africa. But before I could make philosophic review of this coincidence,